Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back, everyone. You know, that's such an important topic that we're talking about, family businesses. And you don't think about, you drive by, you go out into the countryside, and you drive by all these farms and you see the house in the middle there and you realize that, you know, that is a, there's a CEO and living in there. A family business is at work there in that field, creating a living for themselves and creating jobs for a lot of other people. And it's just a shame to think that without planning, all of that can fall apart. So it's really an important step. And I'm glad that there are people like Randy Long out there that are helping people that have farming businesses. We're going to turn the page now to another guest who is now working with Family Office. And a Family Office is a concept whereby a family office would manage the business, finances, administration, and concierge services of affluent families. And we're talking about somewhere between 50 million to 2 billion. So large families that have created wealth need a lot of work. You think their problems are over, but there's a lot of things that they have to work on. And our next guest is John Nelson, and he's with Genrich Family Office in Long Beach, California. And we're going to talk about what they do, what family offices do. We hope that you'll, even if you're not worth $50 million or above, we hope you'll get some ideas about how some of these big families, these big high net worth individuals manage their affairs so you can bring it home. So I'm going to bring on John. Welcome to the show, John. It's a pleasure to have you back.
Hi, how do you do?
Very good, thank you. And you know, Genrich Family Offices up in Long Beach manages the affairs of some very high net worth families, it sounds like. But tell us a little bit about your background and what Genrich is all about before we delve into some of these strategies.
Sure. I'm sort of a fallen academic, was an economist, actually began in sort of medical sciences and then went to the intellectual discipline of economics, was a professor, and then kind of got wooed away from that into the private sector a long time ago, over 35 years ago. I've spent most of my career in financial services. That's with venture capital, private equity, and investment banking. I was a Series 7 licensed investment banker for a number of years. And one of my partners and I have known a family office here in Southern California for a number of years, and last year we took a controlling interest in that gentleman's business. He'd grown, and there was synergy between our businesses, so we got involved with Genrich Family Office, which is a multi-family office, meaning it's not just one wealthy family. A number of family offices come in and the services are scalable.
Services are scalable, so you have all of these resources available, but you don't have to be, you know, a mega size family to use this. Is that what this is all about?
Yeah, the cost of running a family office is relatively high because just running the affairs of the family is like a business with these larger affluent families. So the estimated cost of a single family office, that's meaning you don't join a group like us, you manage your own affair, but you set it up as like a business, is typically a minimum of $1 million, upwards to $5 million a year of overhead cost. So families that are single family offices tend to be families in excess of $1 billion, typically in excess of $2 to $5 billion. Now that's leaves a big gap below that those levels with families with similar needs, but perhaps don't want to invest that much money in their overhead of their affairs. So this really began, this concept of multifamily office began in Europe for a long long time ago and has migrated to the U.S. and first sort of populated the Northeast and made its way west. And it's been a growing enterprise for the last 5 to 10 years nationwide.
Mm-hmm. Now, people with this kind of net worth, of course, they have complex lives. They might have multiple homes. They might have multiple corporations going. Family businesses, like we talked about, needs a lot of needs that it's more efficient for them to bring everything inside and work from the inside with the family office than going out and having all the different advisors and assistants and everything that they would need to run this, right? So they're looking for efficiency and kind of probably privacy. So tell us some of the services that a family office provides for these individuals and families.
Sure. It's a wide range. If you imagine like as a business, there's accounting and bill paying services, and families, we have some fairly large families that meet those financial ranges you gave in the onset, but that are just mom and dad and two or three kids, to families that have spread with, over four generations with perhaps 20 to 30 cousins all under the same family umbrella. So there's a lot of people spending a lot of money and a lot of charge cards and a lot of travel and all these things. So a multifamily office provides bill paying services and monitoring in a secure environment that's available to the matriarch and patriarch, are basically sort of the administrative rulers of the family at the current time, on a 24/7 basis, 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to know where they are, and that all leads then to things like reporting and tax paying and some of the areas we were talking about before, decisions about insurance, tax optimization. All of these sort of financial administrative functions get tied up, and then there's the other aspect of their holdings, where they made their money. A lot of these families still have closely held businesses and are actively involved with them. Some are grooming their children to take over those businesses. Some are hiring professional managers. So we get involved in that aspect as well. And, of course, with our investment banking and venture capital background, we're positioned well to help them either acquire businesses or divest themselves of business units or businesses they have.
You probably weren't done there because I know there's a lot of things that you do, but it sounds like the family office is the hub for anything that family is going to need. And are all of the advisors on staff, or do you outsource as needed? Or I'm just trying to picture, it must be either a huge staff or very capable outsourcing that you do.
It's a combination. Number one is we have a lot of cutting-edge administrative technology services. So, for example, our accounting and bill-paying system is largely automated. We can manage a large number of accounts with a few number of people. It's military-grade encryption. But then we have specialty services that we outsource, that we sort of put out our RFPs and compete people, watch them and monitor them, and that one of those would be a concierge service, say, of security. And security gets involved with, say, travel plans, travel safety, bodyguards, chauffeurs, other types of security items, as well as a big growing of cybersecurity right now. We have a family up in Santa Barbara that's from overseas originally, and their kids posted online on Facebook one time that, hey, whole family is going back to, Indonesia.
Oh, boy.
For 2 months. lo and behold, what happened is a moving van showed up. They live somewhat rural up in the hills, and when they came back, they had an empty estate.
Oh, my God.
There are telephones now, iPhones that are encrypted, that there's no trace left behind, and they don't let you post on some social networking sites. So those are types of services that we contract out for.
Mm-hmm.
A variety of specialty, particularly in concierge services.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how technology has changed some of these things, but I didn't think about the negative side of technology too. Everybody is a target of some size, but when you have significant, you know, eight-figure net worth or above, you're a much bigger target these days for all kinds of things. I didn't think about theft, though, but of course, you know, all kinds of issues come up then.
Yeah, and as a lot of affluent clients will have their children when they're either undergrads or grads get involved in these year abroad things because they can help support and afford it. And very often, as you follow the news, there's problems of kidnappings or mm-hmm. the kids falling in with the wrong people in a country they're unfamiliar with. So that's what the security contractors do, is a lot of clearance, find warnings, and make sure they're in a safe environment for the time they're in an overseas environment.
Now, when you said earlier that, you know, the costs of something like this for a billionaire family is somewhere around $1 million, and that's only about one, you know, probably 1% of their actual overall net worth, so it's not that big of a deal to them. But does that include, I mean, we're talking about all the fees that they would have normally been paying to outside advisors. I mean, those are all included in that, like the attorney's fees and things like that, or is that just the administrative fees?
That's just typically the administrative piece. I'll give you an example. There's a family with whom I've worked for about 20 years. They've been an investor in several funds I've managed. And they were a relatively small family. Dad made the money but left the son and daughter an estate worth $5.2 billion. And what happened is 2008 recession hit. Almost all their money was in the stock market. They didn't have many family ownings anymore, businesses. So they mainly were in liquid assets. And they had, I think they had eight registered investment advisors, but they knew nothing about managing these people. So it turns out that all their investment advisors were invested in the same types of assets. They took a hit and lost over $2 billion in 6 months of net worth. Well, that shocked them quite a bit. And you can imagine the brother and sister could live quite well on $3.2 billion for the rest of their lives. But they were really concerned with that $2 billion they lost. So they actually hired a colleague friend of mine from a Big Four accounting firm to become the CEO of their family office. They're now up to 140 employees.
Wow.
So it gives you an idea of the scale of that business, that family office. Now, it's a large family office, a single family office, but they have 140 administrative employees, and they've gotten more involved in private assets. They own businesses now as well. But that's
wow.
just giving you an example
okay.
of what the scale of this.
Yeah, that is incredible to think of 140 people on staff. I would imagine just about anything they want could be satisfied through that family office. Does it come down to personal tasks as well? I mean, picking up the dry cleaning and all that type of
yes.
stuff, or is it oh,
yes.
okay? So it's at the beck and call. There's probably somebody who's the lead or point person that you know they can text message and say this needs to get done, and it gets done. So it really takes everything off the table for those individuals in the family, so they can focus on their lives and probably their extensive commitments.
Yes, it does. And a big part of it actually is nice transition to your last guest has to do with planning and transitions between the generation, because in terms of a family office and affluent families, there's a theme usually of legacy, of trying to keep the family together, trying to keep those assets passing from flowing from generation to generation in an optimal way, realizing that they have to pay their fair share of taxes, but they don't want to be hammered. And many want to appreciate the good graces and wealth they've accumulated and want to do some good with it, and that's the philanthropy side that we get involved with as well, but they also want to do well. So the other side of philanthropy is it creates tax optimization sometimes. And a lot of families get involved in, say, health technologies or healthcare, medical types of things, particularly families that have some type of affliction which has taken the members of their family. So, for example, in the female line, perhaps a number of the women over the years have died from breast cancer. So breast cancer might be one of the family causes. I'll just give that as one example. So they'll become charitable involved in that area, maybe have their own foundation, contribute to other foundations, support some private companies as well.
Now, John, when you get a new client, why do they typically come to you, and why do they typically, and specifically to GenRich, what's the reason that they would say, we want you guys to handle all this, and they must be, at what point do you get people from other family offices, or is it just people that have said, we can't handle this anymore?
I appreciate that question, because the reason that we took an interest in this existing business was because they had a relative secret sauce or a unique approach. The vast majority of advisors or multifamily office managers tend to be registered investment advisors who primarily are compensated and interested in liquid assets, that's stocks, traded stocks and bonds. And their fees are based on the transactions they're making and the gains they make for the family. GenRich, on the other hand, is not a registered investment advisor. We'll help the family pick and monitor a registered investment advisor, but its focus is primarily is on families that have closely held businesses and private assets. And that could be real estate, art collections, commodities, other types of non-liquid assets. And only about less than 5% of the multifamily office managers in the U.S. focus in this area. So that's GenRich's focus, and being in California, which is very entrepreneurial-oriented and technology-oriented, we have lots of families who have made their wealth in operating businesses and still have those businesses. So that's one of the reasons they will come to us. And frankly, not every family is suitable for GenRich, and GenRich isn't suitable for every family. A family that mainly has all of its assets in the stock market, we can't do that much for. We can provide those ancillary services, but we're not going to add our optimum benefit. So it's really families that have operating businesses which are most attracted to us.
And you mentioned technology, but is it any type of a business that you work
any
in,
type
that you're looking
for? Business.
Yeah. Okay. So business owners, because they do have special needs, like we talk about all the time. I mean, they've got to either think about creating a legacy out of this business and passing it on and keeping it within the family ownership structure, or building it up and dealing with how to sell it, and all the strategies that come into play can be mind-boggling sometimes. And if they have at least, the problem we see with a lot of business owners is they're kind of in bunker mentality or bunker mode. Everybody's after them all the time to do something. All the advisors are coming at them, and this gives them a trusted advisorship, basically, that they can work from within, and they realize that everything that's going to be planned for is coordinated and taken care of in a fashion it's going to benefit them, not somebody out to sell something, for instance.
That's true, and the role that ultimately GenRich people will take, or particularly the relationship manager, is we become sort of ex officio family members, just like most of us growing up our parents had some close friends that we referred to as aunt and uncle, even though there was no blood relation. We become that type of a relationship, a trusted advisor family member that, sometimes the kids call us uncle. Because we're there and we're heavily involved, and we know all the good and all the bad, because the family has to confide and trust. So there is, like you said, confidentiality is king, And, you know, our interest is the family's interest. So it's a very intense relationship.
Well, a lot of times it's not just about preserving wealth, but it's about preserving the values that were set out by the patriarch of the family or the matriarch of the family. So it's about preserving those values from generation to generation. And so it's important to have that kind of understanding and continuity, because a lot of these plans, I have seen a lot of high net worth individual plans, and it's like it's like an electrical schematic in a building. There are wires going everywhere, crossing over, going into junction boxes. And I'm talking about trusts and complicated strategies. Some are offshore, some are onshore. So you deal with all those issues and all the tax planning that goes with that. There, right there, you've got a very, very busy office, not to mention all the other issues that you must have to deal with.
Correct. And many families are, you know, now are at the level of their second, third, and sometimes fourth and fifth generation. And the longer it's been, the more they've been hit by all these advisors and salespeople, everyone with a great deal for them, and they've been burned sometimes. So there's a real wariness. And consequently, there's a trend now that has been developing over several years towards developing something that's referred to in the industry as a family constitution. And what it is, it's like having a set of bylaws that the family agrees that it will live under and operate. Because when, you know, one of the true things about life is we're going to have transitions. We have births and we have deaths. We have divorces and disputes. Some people have legal problems. All these things can have a huge impact on the well-being of the family, not just from a wealth point of view, but from a relationships point of view. So what the family constitution provides is sort of a governance document. And families, by the way, exist in all kinds of forms. We have some families that are C corporations, some are S corporations. Now most are LLCs and trusts, but there's such a variation that it's phenomenal. You can't have one size fit all.
John, when a family is thinking, you know, this might be a good idea for us, if someone's out there listening and saying, this might be a good idea for us, it'll create a lot of efficiency and help our family grow and unite and all that. What's the first step? What do they do? Call you, or do they go on the website? Is there some kind of, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, probably the best way, Bill, is to go to the website, because our contact information is there, and they have a little background on the three principles of the firm, and they can find from that which would be the best appropriate, because we all have slightly different skill areas. And that website is GenRichFO, that's GenRich, F as in Frank, O as in office.com. And from there, we'll have a discussion with them, usually a meeting. If it seems like there's a meshing of our capabilities and their needs, we then move to what's called a fact finder process. And with nothing under contract, it's part of the discovery process to say, is there a good fit? And the fact finder will give the family some forms and some survey information to fill out under confidentiality. And from that, we'll set a meeting with the family and give them a proposal as to what we think, if they need like a retained service or they just have a project that they need help with.
And what's the lower end of the net worth structure that you and GenRich tend to work with?
Usually we try to stay above $50 million because it uses a sort of the whole suite of services. That being said, we have one family in Florida that's just a little above 10, and we have a couple that are around 20. And what we've done for them is sort of scale down the full boat of services and make it appropriate for their needs. But they had special needs and couldn't find somebody to meet their needs, and we felt it was a good fit for both of us, so we went ahead with them. But
okay,
really,
so,
20 and up is generally that net worth is sort of the bottom line, and exceptions would be down to around 10.
Well, in some cases, those can turn into 50 in a hurry if things go right. So in some of those situations.
Yeah, if we do a good job for them too. So
would it be fair to say that if someone is just feeling like they're overwhelmed with the management of their overall situation, because they, even if it's a $10 million, it could be a very complex $10 million family with the business and all the tasks involved. So if you have a complex situation out there and you're thinking, I need help that I can have, you know, one place to call and contact and get all this taken care of, so that they should probably just go to your website anyways at GenRichFO for family office,
right.
GenRichFO.com, and find out what's available, be aware of it, keep your eye on it, and then it doesn't hurt to go through a fact finder or just learn more about it. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, the fact finder itself is very valuable for people. We commonly hear from them, they say, oh, I never looked at it this way, or I didn't realize that, you know, we have these other assets and, you know, this can be classified in this category, or we're exposed over here. So there's that fact finder process can be very useful for people, even if they don't become clients.
Very good. Well, Lisa, it promotes, you know, we're an advocate of, you know, we want people to listen to this type of information, but we really want them to learn and act. And so this is a step towards acting, and it might just be a situation where you find out, you know, maybe this is something that we need, and maybe it isn't yet, but at least it's on our radar screen and we know it's out there. So, John, thanks very much for joining. It's a pleasure to talk with you again, and I wish you well in your new venture. And, there's other specific topics within here. I'm sure there are some very interesting stories that we can go into at another time.
Great.
So I hope you'll join us again.
All right. Go on.
Thanks, John. I've been talking with John Nelson of GenRich Family Office. That's our show for today. I want to thank our guests, John Nelson, who gave us some great insights as to what happens in family offices, and also to Randy Long, who talked about what happens out in family farm businesses. Both very valuable and very different, but yet I'm sure you heard some of the similarities between these issues. We're talking about happy Thanksgivings forever. We're talking about harmony and values and passing those values along, and we're talking about that four generations from now, there's a group of children and young adults saying, I don't know who great-great-great-grandpa was, but he must have been a heck of a guy to have done all this planning so we have all of this intact and the government didn't take it and it didn't get taken away from attorneys and predators and creditors. So thanks very much to our guest today. Thanks very much to you for listening. We hope you go to Exit Coach Network and listen to all of our shows from all of our wonderful hosts who are out finding and interviewing top advisors, authors, and business leaders. And, the other thing is, as we grow our network, we hope that you'll tell people about it. And one of the nice things about this medium is you can always go back to our archives at exitcoachradio.com, our audio library, which is indexed and archived, and you can listen to more content on a wide variety of topics on that site as well. So thanks very much, and be sure and tell your friends about us. We're here for you, the private business owner. You know, you're our hero. We're here for you so that you can be well planned and sometime in the future act on some of these ideas and strategies that we're bringing to light. So again, thank you very much, and we'll catch you on the next show.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.